SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best Every Day now officially underway, and what a week it is. It's going to be Feast Week, Thanksgiving Week, my favorite time of the year. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Kevin Walsh. This is Moneyline. Thank you guys for tuning in, giving us all the love and support, because today, boy, do we got hot topics. And 1 hour sometimes just isn't enough, so we got to kick it off and get after it right away. But before we do that, K-Dub yesterday missed PFT, swept the board on Best Bets yesterday. He was a fan in enemy territory yesterday. For Manja. That's Tommy Cutlet's debut, if you want to call it. My goodness, more like a butt kicking yesterday.
They destroyed that team. That was college football style, man. Like, Baker threw for 295, Donnie. I think he threw for about 30 yards in the second half. Like, that's what Carson Beck, you know, looks like playing up against, like, Tennessee Tech. They embarrassed that team, both sides of the football. And, you know, the one thing that didn't come in, I saw Blue was on it. Trust me, you know, Donnie, you know. Like Mike Evans, anytime touchdown. Like the fact that they were like, nah, all the running backs can get one was pretty touchdown. Surprising. But, man, they destroyed them. They really did. And good for the Bucks. They look good. The Giants are obviously finished. I just think. What is happening to me is Shane and Dable keeping their jobs is more impossible as the games go on. Like you saw the neighbor's comment there, DRS, where he's like, it's not the quarterback. No, I don't know what it is, guys. I mean, I don't know why we're asking me questions, but I just know it's not the quarterback.
30-7 route in that game. And you're right about it, because when you're lining up the Giants, like, hey, Dable and Shane are going to be shown are going to be safe. And I kept saying to myself, like, you signed on the dotted line that Daniel Jones had to be a really good quarterback, or both of you guys were going to be out of here. And he was a bad quarterback. And then you went to Cutlets. Now you're getting to the point now, because you can't fire the owner. He's always going to be the owner. But when you start being embarrassed, that's when plans start to change. Like, if it's like, hey, they fought hard down the stretch, picked up a win here, lost close games. That game at home yesterday where they got physically embarrassed, that now starts to go on the head coach. And you're right about Nabler's comments there. He didn't come out and say, well, we're fighting hard. Coach putting us in the right position. We're just not making plays. He was basically like, Thanksgiving's this week, Christmas. I want to enjoy myself. Like, this team stinks. And trust me, it's not the quarterback, which means he was basically saying, it's not the players. It's we're not even ready or prepared to play in these games. And it's showing across the board.
Yeah, 1,000%. With that, though, it was a nice experience, Donnie, being there. It was fun to be at the game. You know, live football, you know it better than anybody. Yep. It's a good time if you can get, you know, the situation to break your way. I'll tell you, you know, I'll give you a spoiled problem, if you will, though. Mm-hmm. So the Jets and the Giants at MetLife have a thing called the 50-50 Club.
Okay.
And when I got tickets I went to a Bucks-Jets game prior, right, in the preseason last year, and happened to buy tickets in section, what is 139, because it's behind the opponent's bench, Donnie. Mm-hmm. And at the Jets game, I didn't even know this when I bought the tickets, automatic access to the 50-50 club the whole game. I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. But when I was looking to buy the tickets for her and I to go to the Giants game, I said, man, I'd love to try and, you know, do the 50-50 again if we could. Boom, section 139. Awesome. I get in. They go, yeah, that's how Jets games work. Giants game are way different. Sitting in 139 doesn't get you anything. You need a reservation or you could pay extra to get it. Are you kidding me?
Is it just a club lounge-like level? Is that what it is? the 50-50 yeah, so club?
You get to go in, and there's the whole buffet going. And
so
obviously
that's included in your ticket?
When for the Jet game, Donnie, it's included in the ticket.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
Full buffet, Donnie. You get to walk out into this little, like, patio, like, almost field access where you could not be closer to the Bucks bench, right?
Wow.
So, to me, Donnie, I'm like, this is so worth it. You get to the Giants game, and it's no good. Now, here's what was interesting. There was a guy, like, kind of working the door, being real rude to people, you know?
Wow.
Now, Donnie, like at one point, he's like, is this a Jets game? I go, why are you talking to me like that? Like, I just, you know, really not in the mood now because I'm finding out information. And all of a sudden, he started to, like, well, no, hold on. All I'm just saying is, so here's how it works. He started to flip around a little. But when we went inside, there was a number of other Bucks fans, Donnie. Every single one of them was like, yeah, the guy at the door was the rudest person I've come across, like, in my life, which was, I don't know if he was just trying to, like, get after Bucks fans or something, Donnie, but it was interesting. But
now,
it was still a really, really great
time.
Were you
in Bucks gear? Were you in Bucks gear?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't understand that, though. Explain it to me. Explain why you're in Bucks gear.
Here's how I would explain it, though, right, DRS?
Yeah.
For you, to my best understanding, the missus doesn't really care, right?
Yeah.
Like, whatsoever.
Correct.
Where
she
for
wears
me,
Eagle stuff, but yes, she doesn't have any other affiliation anywhere else. Yes.
Right. For me, like, the amount that which I'm an Eagle fan, she is a Buck fan. So, listen, like, when they play one another, Donnie, it is what it is. But when her and I went to the Eagle game, like, fully Eagles gear, right? Like, Donnie, like, last night, show of respect. Like, we got home from the Bucks game.
Yeah.
And the Go Bird shirt went on as we sat down watching, you know, Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Carter get after it on a Sunday night. So I understand for you it would be a no-go. I totally get it. But for me, within the house, it's how we do things, which I'm okay with.
Yep. Like, in my house, it'd be like, hey, can we go to the Bucks game? They're playing the Giants. I'd be like, oh, I got to work. Not taking off work for that. Yeah, couldn't get tickets. Wait, I'm online right now. There's a no. Trust me. That's a fake site. You can't put your credit card in there. There are no tickets available to a Buccaneers Giants game at this point. That's how it'll be played out, certainly in my household. But by the way, you're talking about playing out my household last night. I was geeked. I was ready. I knew how big a game that was for the Eagles. And I've been saying, all you have to do is go 1-1 over the next 2 weeks. Because why? The Washington Commanders are going to have an easy victory on Sunday, and you can't lose this game to the Rams because you have the Ravens on deck, let alone the watch. Washington get beat by the Dallas Cowboys, who showed in with half the football team that they had the week before, where Houston absolutely embarrassed them. If there was one shocking performance over this weekend, if you'd have said, Donnie, what's one football team that absolutely won't lose? I would have told you it's the Commanders yesterday.
Yeah. Here's my thing, right?
Good.
Upsets happen. Within divisions happen. The most stunning thing, Donnie, that is going to happen this year is Bo Nix getting handed the Offensive Rookie of the Year trophy. That is going to be the most. I'll tell you this right now. Season ended today. Why are we giving it to Jaden Daniels over Bo Nix? Like, he had – like, Donnie,
true.
Jaden Daniels won, if in air quotes, the award, right? Because of a
Cincinnati
play that
game.
Never should have happened. No, the Bears. Right? That should have never happened. He has been atrocious since. And if you're telling me it's because he's injured, they don't judge it on what you did when you were at your 100%. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. Like, I'm actually surprised Daniels is still a favorite. I really am.
I left the house again. You know what? You know, not getting ready for the 425s. Let me walk the dogs. Yeah. Didn't have a lot of tickets in my pocket cash and sort of upset. I'm like, man, how could I really whiff on a total of over 58.5 for Terry McLaurin? And I see on my phone, the first thing that pops up, one of my followers is like, oh my goodness, Dallas, what are you doing? It's like, oh, what'd they do? Onside kick or something like that? The fact that it was McLaurin on like an 80-plus yard touchdown catch just made me laugh. And that set off the tone for what I'm going to tell you next, where chef's kiss, baby. Big tickets coming to town for your boy DRS. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bring back, I am yours.
Chef's kiss. Sometimes you bet and you say, you know what, let me just leave the team out of it. Doesn't matter who wins, as long as getting your prop bets. But case in point for me yesterday in the game, I also was very shocked that we had a final score of 32-27, and that's the Titans beating the Texans. Unbelievable. And even in that game, too, where I said yesterday we were, you know, doing Pro Football Today, I said, you know what's going to happen in this game? I could see it being close in the first half, and it was. Will Levis always is going to give something away. Damn it, doesn't he throw that pick six? I'm like, oh, this game is over. Will Levis stinks. I can't believe he's a quarterback. Only to see them win, which now I start my focus on the Texans and what's actually wrong with them. Before I get there, though, it's like, you know what? Fanatics, love you. Give me 40% boost. By the way, they had five boosts yesterday. 140, 220s, 10s, like a bunch of stuff yesterday. Fantastic. So I said, let me own up and just put in a couple parlays. So I put two. One lost, which was in the Washington game, which the key contributor was Brian Robinson Jr. I thought was going to have a big game. He ends up getting injured with an ankle injury, knocked out, so it blew that one up. So, like, okay, let me switch it over to the Texans. Two touchdown passes for C.J. Stroud, over 80 receiving yards for Nico Collins, and 20 receiving yards for Dalton Schultz. Early in the game, you get the quick touchdown pass out of C.J. Loved it. Even threw a touchdown pass to Nico. I'm like, oh, why did I just take Nico to get a touchdown? Now, the odds would have been a little bit less because it's technically a correlation. Throw two, he catches one, right? So it's like, all right. I might have missed on that. Nico starts to explode. He's got 65 yards, but Schultz only has four in the first half. Second half, Nico gets it right away. I'm like, oh my goodness, man. Schultz is going to let me down. So you know how I think sometimes. I'm scouring books like, can I get an under on Schultz at whatever it would be to try to salvage some money back? I'm like, nah, you know what? Just let it ride out. It's going to be less than it anyway. Don't just do this. He has one catch for 16 yards late in the fourth quarter. It hit 20 exactly. And the thing I love about some books out there, they pay you immediately once you get that 20. Not like, well, let's see if he catches a swing pass for minus one and you lose. It paid me out right away. It was $100 to win like six something on there. So that buoyed my day right away. It was fantastic. But the bigger picture, Kevin, the Texans. Yeah. 7-5, they'll probably still win their division, but like I expected better out of CJ this year.
Yeah, but like Donnie, they gave up 32 points to Will Levis. Will Levis was out there at one point in that game. I don't know, like what, 15, 16? And because, you know, you no matter what, I was keeping eyes, right? Like 16 to 19, buck 60, two tuds. Like, I don't know.
Beast mode.
Did they get Will Anderson back yesterday, Donnie?
They did.
Like,
that's yes.
What, yeah, like I didn't have the injury reports and things like that. Yeah. Like Houston's been struggling with some health. It's one of those things, DRS, where the fully healthy Texans, I felt, could hang. The fully healthy Texans aren't a thing. They're never a thing. They weren't a thing last year. They're not a thing this year.
I just was pretty stunned by that. And two, also, Joe Mixon, 14 carries, 22 yards. What is going on?
Some of the shine's coming off that, Donnie. Some of the shine getting taken back a little bit. Not so sure on that one.
It really is. Like Mixon was just like, oh my goodness. Like I knew he would be a solid back, but not in a top three mentality at this point. So he takes a step back. And again, I still think they win that division because I don't think anybody's good enough there, which includes the Colts who went backwards again in a big way. And by the way, if you are looking at defensive turnarounds and say it can't happen in the NFL, 1-2, Eagles in Detroit, sieves last year, Kevin. Almost lights out this year. So I want to give another shout out to the Detroit Lions. I actually thought 7.5 was a pretty good number in Indy. And Indy hung around for the most part. But boy, oh boy, like Detroit's defense is just sensational now.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It will take me longer than everyone else to believe their defense is this good. But I am even coming around to where I would evaluate them. Like, I fully refuse to think that that is the best defense in football. No chance. That's preposterous. But they have a good defense this year, right? They do. They have a good defense this year. And for Detroit, that is all that they're looking for. That is all they're hoping to have. And the run defense was phenomenal. They completely bottled up Jonathan Taylor in that football game. And what was a pretty good spot for the Colts, they couldn't take it. Scored first, couldn't take advantage. whatsoever. And I think that's the one thing we have seen from Detroit, man, is like the old school good versions of Kansas City, Donnie.
Yes.
You need to score to beat them. You are not beating them with 17 points. I know that is what Tampa Bay did in the one game that which the Lions lost this year. The Lions had like 500 yards of offense.
Yes. They just couldn't score.
So it was a real outlier performance. You are going to need to score this year to beat Detroit.
I just love the effort. And there is a collision course between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Detroit Lions here going into it. But I just thought that was one of those, like, Jared Goff measured 26 of 36, 269, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Ground game really powered through. Montgomery got in, which I bet to score an anytime touchdown. Then he gets injured, so at least he got that job done for me yesterday. But I just look at that Lions team. They're going to take on the Chicago Bears on Thursday. Double-digit favorites in that one. We're going to get to that Vikings-Bears game in just a second, but I do think we owe it to kick it off with the Philadelphia Eagles last night and what they actually showed the nation. 37 points in a game where Jalen Hurts was like, you know what? Let me just be efficient at quarterback. It's hard to try to put into words because the free agent market for running backs, which the year ago before this one was like, we'll pay running backs $1 and they'll like it. And the running backs are, hey, we got to have a conference call. This isn't going to go our way. I'm like, well, I guess if you prove it on the field, but running backs getting paid might be a thing of the past. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, absolutely phenomenal, which brings me to Saquon Barkley. It feels to me, with that offensive line, Kevin, he is so close to breaking runs every single play where it's like, ooh, just got clipped on the ankle or nice tackle on the outside. But when he hits it, who can I, like, go back to with this? Like, because I know Derrick Henry does have some long runs, but the Derrick Henry's runs don't look the same necessarily as Saquon Barkley. The ability, like, if you've ever played football before and understand how hard it is to, like, juke one guy, let alone let me run through the middle of your defense, step through, step here, jump cut here, boost here, and then I'm faster than everybody else. His runs are a absolute thing of beauty.
They 100% are. Make no mistake about it, this is the best season of his career, which is showing, you know, what the Philadelphia situation has created for him. And giving the MVP to who deserves it has stopped for a while now.
Yes.
Saquon is very, very in the race, and the odds reflect.
No, he is. We're going to take a look at those latest odds and also Offensive Player of the Year. Who would it be? We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Playing mystery guest with Kevin Walsh here in a second to try to find some information from yesterday. What game we did. A bet crossed the line yesterday, which I cashed a ticket in. All right. So that was it. Was it like a show play or like one of my, like you saw me retweet out like a ticket that I had?
One of your show plays cashed in this game. But the side in this game, if we're honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Easiest bet of the NFL season.
Easiest bet of the NFL season yesterday. Now, it can't be the Chiefs. It was Chiefs-Panthers.
Come on. Come on. You know it is.
Yeah, because I was the 11.5. Yes. I have a, by the way, I went 7-0 in my pool last week against the spread.
Awesome.
It looks like I'm going to be 6-1 this weekend again. So having a good run on sides. One of them, yes, was 11.5 with the Carolina Panthers.
And I remember that's the best, like, to hear.
You know, good friend of the show, big man on campus. Like, we always tweet like Sunday morning, like, what do you like? What do you think? So we go over like false flag games. And he sent me one. The one I sent right back is Carolina Panthers is sticking out now. And he said, look, I hear you, but I don't care. Like, I'm not going to take the Chiefs, obviously, but I'm never going to step in front of like the bet a Panthers game because of how bad they are. So I said, all right, we'll see how it plays out. So you see the first, I was like, oh, look at this. Kansas City really wants to show that there's something. They put their foot down right away, moving the football with ease. And then that second half, which we talk about so much, and I love to say it. Oh, we're up 2 touchdowns, 10 points. They get back into the game. It's no big deal. And didn't it play out? Carolina drives the length of the field, touchdown, 2-point conversion. And I was out again. I wasn't watching the game live, just getting the updates on my phone. And I laughed to myself going like, Let me watch the next two updates where Kansas City goes dip, 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 right in the field goal range and wins this football game. And they did that. Sooner or later, like they have to be vanquished for what they do. You're not supposed to say, let me hang around and then the game's okay. You know what? Well, let's go quickly down the field and end this thing. And they can do that. And it pisses me off. But yes, anybody yesterday goes, you know what? Give me the Chiefs with the points because Carolina stinks. We're doing it wrong out here, people.
Just way wrong. Way, way wrong. And again, I'm not going to sit here, Don, and act like I bet a small fortune on Carolina.
Yes, correct.
But, Donnie, since I didn't do the show, I didn't have my usual level of preparation, right, Donnie, heading into a slate. I didn't need it to know I needed to bet Carolina catching 11 before I walked into the stadium. And they didn't even cover the whole way. And there was, to me, never a doubt in my mind that they were covered. Yep. The Chiefs going to cover double digits on the road.
Like, a meaningful game on the road the week previous.
And I saw some Donnie out there like, ooh, KC going to be extra focused off the loss. What are you talking about? No, they're not. They're going to be even less. Like, they don't care, man. They do not care about winning some game by 35 points. Or maybe they're not capable. I don't know which it is. Here's my other takeaway from that game, though, Donnie. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think Bryce Young's going to save his job in Carolina.
Yeah, because where are you going? And also hearing the footprints now from a lot of people, Kevin, like, hey, you might think there's decent quarterbacks in college football. We're telling you this is a down year. So usually it's like we're going to tank to get a Trevor Lawrence, an Andrew Luck, a Caleb Williams. So again, we'll see how he turns out. But like the generational guys that can't miss, like, yes, we'll throw a quarterback out. Like Josh Rosen for the Arizona Cardinals. Just drafted you basically in the top 10, but there is a generational guy we think in Kyler Murray, who if he's there, we are taking him, and they did, and they bounced the other quarterback out. You're right. I don't know if they give up on him, but he's clearly not the issue with that football team anymore than maybe we thought he was earlier on in his career.
I think it also could maybe be he actually has some trade value now. Maybe there's a franchise that would be willing to take him on. I'm not going to act like he was flawless. Right within that football game, certainly the numbers don't jump off the page like that, but I don't know. It seems like he might be able to keep his job up within Carolina, which I think is pretty interesting. I love seeing that team didn't cover. They were never going to cover. Come on.
Never. But by the way, getting back to a cover, Philadelphia Eagles last night, absolutely tremendous. Jalen Hurts, 15 of 22, passer rating of 108, only 179 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. Why? He didn't need to do anything. And by the way, he did make some quality plays with his legs multiple times in that game. But we are going to come up against the break, but I got to ask you this. End of the first half, 13-7 Eagles. Get the ball around midfield. And I watched this, and I also, Kevin, I know you're a college football guy. I watched what the Eagles did, which was questionable. And then I saw what Arizona State was doing and said, sometimes we make football so much harder than it actually is, which could cost your team a game and or points. Let me talk about the Philadelphia Eagles at the end of that first half and also get Kevin's take on a couple college things, which included Arizona State. What the hell are you doing out there on the field? We'll be right back in 20 Line on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Questionable decisions by coaches. 7 seconds to go, midfield. All right, what do you do? Probably roll Jalen Hurts out. Say to yourself, all right, let's see if we can pick up 15 yards. We still have a timeout left. If it's incomplete, it's no big deal because the ball is at the opposing team's 49, too far for your field goal, and away you go. Or what a lot of players would have done or teams, hey, you know what? And I thought they were setting it up. They had shotgun. They had, I think, a running back and a tight end on each side of Jalen Hurts. I go, oh, here comes. It's Hail Mary. They're going to buy a little bit of time. He's going to scramble in the pocket, burn 2 seconds extra, and then throw it up in the air and see if they can get something. Instead, they run a draw, which like lost yards, but they didn't lose enough where it was field goal range. But I was almost like deep down in myself, like, I hope he lost enough where it's like, okay, 62-yard field goal is good. I'm like, that was the worst scenario I've ever seen. So before you answer on that, we're going to couple that with Arizona State, who, correct me if I'm wrong, was inside like the 10-yard line and wound up at like the 50. And then instead of just running a normal play, you step back in the pocket, which I almost thought could have been called like intentional grounding, where you throw it into the stands, but there's 1 second left, and then Dillingham's upset understand like why the game isn't over when it's clear that there's 1 second left on the clock and his time management was atrocious. What did you think about start with the Arizona State game? I was just complete in awe of how they played that game to finish it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, DRS. I didn't have the best eyes on it. Well, Donnie, it was a big weekend out of me. I was on at the wrestling on Saturday.
Who was the headliner, by the way, at the wrestling? Who was it?
The main event was Mox against Orange Cassidy.
Wow.
But Ospreay had the best match of the night. No surprise.
No surprise.
But, man, like, Donnie, it was one of those things, like, trying to play catch up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. And then I see, like, a picture of, like, a field goal post. I'm like, what is happening right now? But it felt like a whole lot of stuff just to get to the same obvious result that Arizona State was going to walk away with the win.
Let me tell you how it broke down here. Let me just make sure I have this correct here. First and goal with 56 seconds left to go, it looks like. They ran for 4 yards. Talking about Arizona State. Trying to use BYU's new timeouts, right? Made some sense to get to the 3. And then second down, it says timeout. Third, so it's okay. So it's a little bit, because even the play-by-play is messed up here. But second down, Kevin, Sam Levitt, loss of 26 yards. That's the quarterback.
Like, did they tell him to run backwards?
Yes, they told him to run backwards. Instead of, like, punching it. And keep in mind, Kevin, you're up 5.
Why not score?
You're up 5. Hand the football off, run it into the line, no big deal, doesn't score. Hand the football, run it, no big deal, doesn't score. Even hell, Kevin, run into the football, fourth down, doesn't score. It's a 5-point game. They're on their own 1-yard line. What are they going to do with that? But hear me out on this.
Yeah.
Third down, Kevin, run for another 10-yard loss. Then take a delay of game. Then another one, Kevin, which pushes you back to the 50-yard line. Then you snap the football on fourth down, throw the football like a missile in the air, like you're in the backyard, into the stands, and it lands with 1 second left, which gave you a shot from midfield to throw a Hail Mary and beat
you. That's just stupidity. I mean, nothing else to say. That is very, very dumb. I don't know.
BYU uses like their first time out. Let's just say you run it in with 45 seconds to go up 13 points, go for two, and make it 14. The game is over.
Yeah.
As long as you don't run back to midfield, the game is essentially over. So they tried to play like, well, if I burn 8 seconds, 6 seconds, 8 seconds, it's going to be over. And they didn't manage the clock correctly, which put them at the 50 on fourth down and still had to run another play, which didn't kill all the clock. Tremendous.
Yeah. No, come on. And here's the deal, man. I saw you were kind of popping off with the Big 12.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, it is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. That we are still not going to get this right. You know, the Big 12, Donnie, I want people to understand this.
Yes.
I have an over 1.5 Big 12 teams to make the playoff bet preseason. Mm-hmm. I should be the person screaming about SEC bias and get Indiana out of there. And we can talk about all these topics. The Big 12 is lucky if they get a team in the playoff. That's the reality of it.
Don't they have to, right?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. And they are lucky, Donnie, that they are getting even just that.
Yes.
Like, the Big 12 is not being unfairly treated.
Correct.
It is not. And in a more expanded playoff, they would have more contenders. But in a 12-team playoff, look, the Big 12 is. I think people need to understand something. The Big 12 is having a massively down season. The first, you know, three choices via the odds were Utah, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State hasn't won a single Big 12 game. Utah lost Cameron Rising, six quarters into the season. K-State kept finding a way to put bad losses on their schedule. Arizona was supposed to be good. The offense hasn't even been good, which has been totally insane. So 4 of the top 5 teams preseason, Donnie, aren't even good. So, of course, it is going to be difficult then to crack into the playoff when your best teams almost all had bad seasons. And it's going to then clear the pathway out for other conferences to load the box, if you will.
Let me ask you this question, too, because this always comes up with a common theme. And you have to separate your sports, right? The fun about March Madness, Kevin, is six. Let's say 68 teams get in. In college football, 12 teams get in. The charm of it is smaller schools trying to be upset bidders. But at the same time, you get 35 unbelievably talented top-level teams where you argue, does the 36th team get in? So it's a little bit different. That's the charm of the tournament. When did we get the point here? And I get accused of this because I stick up for the SEC more than any other conference. You know, I don't have a dog in the fight. My team's Miami Hurricanes in the ACC, skating along with an easy schedule, needs to beat Syracuse, who's not a good football team, but anybody against Miami feels like a good football team. But that's neither here nor there. I find myself saying, I thought we were football fans. And what I mean by that is, Kevin, when we get to the playoff, give me the best 12 teams in the country battling out for the playoffs. Like, and I feel like some people don't understand or even like that take. Like, if it was to me, the best 12 teams were in the Big 12, put them all in. Understand it's not happening. It's just being, you know, just throwing it out there. Same thing with the Big 10 ACC or whoever it might be. But why is my, like, and again, it's not everybody, but I see they get a lot of pushback. You just want it to be the SEC. No, no, no. I just want the best football teams to get in. They're like, were we better last year, Kevin, that Georgia got left out of the college? Well, that's the way it is. You know what? Georgia probably wins the national championship last year if they let them in the playoff here. But now, granted, you have 12 teams, it's understandably, but we saw this coming. Boise State might get in. Oh, that's really a lot of fun. But again, Indiana is a capable football team. I'm going to be pissed off if they make that. No, that's just the way we play it. But when did it get against true football fans? You just want to see the best teams go head-to-head. And apparently it's like, I'd rather BYU get in. I'd rather see a team like Washington State get in. They don't like, do you see what I mean? Like, when did we get to the point where we just want to see other teams get in because the normal teams are playing? It'd be what, like college basketball, Kevin. We always have to see Duke and Carolina in the tournament and UConn. Like, let somebody else. Like, when we never say that, do we?
No, in fact, usually in college basketball, on the rare occasions the Blue Bloods, Donnie, have a down year, then it is followed up with, man, college basketball is better when North Carolina is good, right? Like, that's actually what you hear over there. Correct. Let me say this on Indiana, Alabama specifically, because there's a lot to say about, and I don't know. Is Alabama better than Indiana?
Yes.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Donnie. The Oklahoma loss changed things.
Yes.
And Bama is rightfully going to be ranked behind Indiana.
Correct.
And that's okay.
I agree. I 100% agree. No argument.
But there are people who are saying if Alabama gets into the playoff, that's a disgrace. Those people are talking about something from the preseason issues. Oh, three-loss Bama. Go look at Bama's schedule with preseason expectations, Donnie, and tell me three losses is some level of disgrace. They have better wins still than most of these teams. Realistically, now Bama needs a lot of help, Donnie, but if they get the help, if Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt, then they belong into the playoffs.
Ah, the hot topics roll on Moneyline on a Monday. It's Donnie, it's Kevin. It's the Sports Grid Network. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, people. By the way, the horrible bowl tonight down in Los Angeles. So hot. Back-to-back big performances. Which gives the Eagles a little bit of an advantage because last night they played in L.A. They're already back home. Tonight the Ravens play. Then they got to fly back. But it is a good game. We'll talk about in just a few moments. But leaving off some things in college football was a fun weekend overall. I got to tell you, you know what's interesting? And sometimes you change your thought process now because the first time we've ever seen a 12-team playoff in college, how losses affect and how the committee is actually going to reward those losses or dock you for those losses. And I do think they're sort of getting away from it. It used to always be like, look, the zero means something. You're unbeaten. You're going to get the nod typically over a team with one loss. Now, last year was extenuating circumstances. Florida State lost their quarterback, and rightfully so. The committee just absolutely nailed that. Just nailed it at that point. Leaving Florida State out, they were an embarrassment. But this year, I feel like if you have two losses as opposed to one, they'll still be like, you know what? You played a tougher schedule. You can move up the list. Which the reason why I'm bringing this up is how it plays out into the national championship picture itself. Like, how do you feel about those 12 teams getting in, one losses, because you even see like in the AP, there's a lot of one loss team or two loss teams above one loss teams and whatnot. How do you feel about that changing of the guard this year, where it used to just be about, are you unbeaten? If you have one loss, you can't go.
Yeah, I think it's good. I still think the committee is really struggling with it, Donnie.
Yeah,
I think people are very uncomfortable arguing at the back, because as I've been saying, the committee does not take any care or thought once they were last, you know, in years prior, once they were done ranking, Donnie, the teams in contention, it was just the wild, wild west of what they were putting out there. And this year, obviously, it's been a lot more on their plate to try and figure out how to rank these teams. But I just want to make this point on Bama for people who think that, oh my God, if Bama gets in, it's such a disgrace. Preseason, we thought the Big 12 could have a few good teams. They have none.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason, we thought that the ACC was going to have these three powerhouses at the top. Well, instead, Florida State's the worst team I've ever seen. And Clemson is a notch above Bama right now, Donnie. I don't think they should be, personally. The ACC has two teams. That's just what it is. Notre Dame has been able to hold their water, stay in the race. They've been kind enough to put Boise inside the at-large. Like, Boise's going to end up the four seed, which I think will immediately show people how stupid the format is and needs some changes, because obviously we should never be putting Boise fourth in the country.
Real quick on that. Like, if we, again, equate this to college basketball, like, Boise would be on, like, the, you know, the West number one seed. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, wait a second now. Or how can we, like, because Gonzaga's a little bit different. They're national power. But let's just say James Madison in college basketball or something. Like, a decent, like, mid-level team. Like, I know what, they're automatically a one seed out West.
Or how about this, Donnie? St. John's would be the 16 seed on the playing Purdue. You'd be like, what? Huh?
Yeah. Correct.
No, they're the last team in. It's like, well, that doesn't matter. We understand they're the last team in, but we're not nuts here. We're not going to take Charleston and make them a four in the tournament. So that's all getting messed up here. Bama, to me, is the, like, again, like, the things didn't work well for Bama. Ole Miss losing to Florida, right? Like, so Ole Miss falls out of we currently have. If you just take the AP poll, we currently have a situation where there are going to be three SEC teams that get into the playoff. And there are people who think we are being, like, overly kind to the SEC.
Yep.
You are having preseason debates in November because you thought we were going to be overly kind to the SEC. Yep. And we are not doing that at all. Again, Notre Dame, I love them. They're a wagon. They're killing everyone. Lost at home to a MAC team and is going to be ranked inside the top five. What are we talking about? If Bama, Donnie, lost at home to a MAC team, they'd have fired DeBoer on the spot, and people would still be holding that against them. Nobody even cares that Notre Dame lost to NIU.
It's true. No, it's right. It's just a wacky, wacky time at this point. By the way, you want to talk about, again, undefeated teams coming in. Army undefeated. You see when they level up in competition, they get absolutely leveled in a football game. And Notre Dame does look like an absolute wagon, specifically on defense. Shout out that line going from 13.5 as a team total to 14.5 around game time. That was nice because you would have got burned if you took it midweek. If you took it closer to game time, you would have hit the under team total on the Army Golden Knights. Now, let me take a look at this, Kevin. We were talking about the NFL regular season MVP, and also Offensive Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley is the favorite at -320 to win the Offensive Player of the Year, and rightfully so. But he rocketed up the leaderboard to +650 at FanDuel, only behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. He's ahead of Jared Goff, agree. He's ahead of Mahomes, absolutely. He's ahead of Herbert, no doubt about it. Now you're going toe-to-toe with the two most talented quarterback specimens in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Not taking anything away from Mahomes. He might be the best overall quarterback of them, but I'm just talking talent-wise, ability to be like, wow, that's a crazy play. The legitimate chance, like, what has to happen to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley to put Barkley in that one spot?
They probably have to beat the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Right?
That's one.
Then get to 2,000 yards. But the conversation's there. You know, the win loss is gonna matter. We know the win loss is gonna matter for sure.
Yeah,
but maybe he doesn't have to beat the Ravens, Donnie. But he has to play really well.
No, I think he does. No, because you know what beating the Ravens means? You beat Lamar Jackson. Not even Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
you beat Lamar Jackson.
No,
like
those
head to heads. Like when Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes, where did he go? Boop, give me that spot. Let me move you ahead of it. I think they have to beat the Ravens.
I'll just tell you this right now. We are getting really, really close to me just crushing Lamar for the rest of his career. Because I've been a Lamar guy for a long time. If I watch Lamar once again, Donnie, like have the people around him, like let's just say they do beat the Eagles. Right, yeah. But it's like a good defensive game. Lamar,
yeah.
You know, 200 yards, a touchdown, a pick, and then like become the favorite to win MVP. I'm going to lose my mind. Like what happened on Christmas, if I watch that happen again, I'm going to go crazy.
Like the coach of the year market. Hey, I got a good team. I'm a great coach. Yeah, you can't be coach of the year, pal. I mean, nothing makes sense sometimes in these awards market. It is what it is. One more segment to go on a Monday. Let's preview Monday Night Football next right here on Monday Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Going to get the Monday Night Football here in just a moment. Ravens, Chargers, current line. Ravens, slight favorite, -2.5. Nice total, 50.5. We'll get some action tonight on the set. But a little college football, little background music for the college football. What do you got? Yeah,
which I like that. Now, I just want to let people know, because tonight, Don and I will be joined by Joe Lisi. And Joe Lisi, yes, I will be back. Joe Lisi, Don, my best bet on Saturday.
Yes. Correct.
Shedeur Sanders, over 2.5 passing touchdowns. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, you could tell I really like this one. You know, Lisi, of course, as he does, he asks you about 3 or 4 times. What's your best bet? What's your best bet? You know what I mean?
Doesn't listen to what you're saying, but yes, no. I get you.
But for some reason, Donnie, that resonated with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to me, and he's not kidding. He goes, I think you can get me in on that. You know what? I'll take Shedeur Sanders to throw for 400.
Huh?
Wait, hold on.
I got a good ready for. Yep, go ahead. Tell the story because I got another really good one for yesterday.
He then sends me the parlay. He goes, I'm backing you, and it's his best bet of Army plus 14.5, Shedeur to throw 3 touchdowns and to throw 400 yards in the parlay. I'd love for it to get there for him, right? But if he took him to throw 4 touchdowns, Donnie, right? It's like, all right, you took my best bet. You leveled it up. I have nothing to do with yardage here. I don't know why you're getting them to throw 4.
Yep, just up the ante. So yesterday, we have our Sell Me Something segment. I went with Drake May to throw for 250 plus and 2 touchdowns. Finished with 220, which went over his number, and only 1 touchdown pass didn't come through. Well, Lisi picks Sam Darnold. And here's the best part about yesterday. Sam's behind the scenes as the, you know, getting the stuff together and setting up the graphics. So we start to Sell Me Something, and Joe's explaining his bet. And I'm looking at the graphic and I'm like, Joe, you didn't even bet that. Like, what are you even talking about right now? So, you know, Joe can't see. He's like staring at the monitor going like, wait a second here. Because he wanted to give out Sam Darnold over 300 plus passing yards at a really good price. But the graphic said Sam Darnold 3 plus touchdowns at a really good price. So what happens in the final? He throws for 330, but only 2 touchdowns. But the graphic made him choose his Sell Me Something as the 3 touchdowns. So again, the chat again, I was like, yeah, Joe, tough scene. You lost that, man. Tough L. And you know, because he technically won.
Yeah,
the graphics guy made him take another bet, and he lost that bet, but won the other one. Oh, it made my day. It really made my day, man. It did.
That is fantastic. Oh, that is. Now I'm trying to think about, man. Again, I'm telling you, I popped in that opening segment, and the way he dressed something up, and I was like, I don't know about that, man. I don't. Maybe it was like Rams Eagles. Like I'm not. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but we'll see. We'll see.
I feel like it was maybe the
NFC West, where he was just like, "Well, listen, the Niners are struggling, man, and you got a team like the Rams now leading the charge. It's like Arizona's playing good football. It's like Seattle's in first.
Yeah. No, nope. He did like Arizona, yeah, which that was a tough game overall. Great defense by Seattle. But tonight, Baltimore and L.A., this is going to go a long way here because that misstep by the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday really kicks the door in for the Ravens, where you want to talk about momentum? Mm-hmm. Go in there and beat the Chargers, beat the Eagles next week, and now you got like the Steelers backpedaling where they had a little bit of a cushion. Same thing when you talk about like the Eagles and the Washington Commanders. The thought process was, ooh, Eagles really tough game, layup for Washington. Oh, no, neck and neck down the stretch. Mm-hmm. The Eagles kicked the door in right now, and I'd be shocked if Washington gets back up off the carpet. But what are your expectations tonight? Because it looks like we're going to get a good game, a lot of superstars, and some good amount of points here as 51s are now showing on the board.
Yeah, I'm torn here, man. I'm torn here because the Ravens are the type of team that we look at and go, ooh, they won't lose two in a row.
Correct.
But the Chargers are playing really good football.
Yeah.
Right?
Four
long. It's a tricky game. I don't see me being on the side. I may end up on a Ravens team total over, though, Donnie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not that I don't think the Chargers, kind of, again, from your school of thought, the Chargers can do their part, and I hope they do, to make sure that the Ravens continue to do their part, right? But I think, I haven't looked at the best number I can get, but I could probably get it to where 27's a winner. I could definitely get it, where 28's a winner there, four touchdowns. So I am interested in the Ravens offense because I think this Chargers defense has it's not a bad defense, Sonny. I don't know if they are elite on that side of the football, so I think it means the Ravens could have some success.
Yeah, I'm going to be cooking up some alts tonight for fun. Should be a fun game to watch in-game with a lot of live action, so we can't ask for better. We've had some clunkers in the past couple games. Ravens and Chargers doesn't feel like it's going to be a clunker on Thanksgiving week. For JP behind the wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to another edition of Moneyline. We'll be back tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.